This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Julian and Sharit. Now it is 9:17 in the morning. This week, Bank Negara Malaysia reduced its overnight policy rate, or OPR, to 3%, and it wasn't the only one to ease monetary policy. So central banks in New Zealand and the Philippines also made the decision to cut interest rates amid low inflation pressure and growing global risk. So to give us some colour on the end of the monetary tightening in the region and the impact it has on currencies, Wang Xiaoning speaks to Ray Choi, Regional Head of Treasury and Markets Research at CIMB Group Wholesale Banking.
Recently, Bank Negara Malaysia and the Reserve Bank of India took the lead in the region to cut rates. Do you expect the same for the central banks in the region in light of the potential failure of trade talks between China and US and the slump in manufacturing?
Well, the usual mode of monetary policy crafting, of course, involves an analysis of changes in the CPI as well as growth. In Malaysia's case, we note that there has been a shift from negative CPI to positive CPI in the latest data print. And of course, growth remains one of the most important measures with regards to understanding the outlook for monetary policy. And in this case, we can see that trade and exports has actually been declining in the last couple of months. And that is due to the usual trade tensions that we have been seeing between China and the U.S. But one of the more interesting elements which has been pointed out in a lot of central bank statements has been the fact that financial market volatility has been on the rise. So, of course, that would feed into wealth effects on consumers, and that will also have an impact and influence the whole idea of being more accommodative on the monetary policy going forward. But I think very importantly would be we mustn't lose sight of the whole idea of fiscal policy. And I think that is a point of key pertinence. I think at the end of the day, apart from this apparently obsessive focus on monetary policy, we also need to remember that governments also have the policy tools and levers to basically adjust and coordinate with monetary policy to help implement the counter-cyclical measures in the event the slowdown actually gets more severe.
And what does the end of the monetary tightening cycle we have seen in Asia mean for its currencies?
Well, I think the easy money has been made over the last couple of years where, you know, we've actually seen the overall trend of interest rate policy divergence between the developed nations as well as the emerging markets. So I think changes with regard to currency valuation going forward will be dictated by the question of who can actually cut rates faster and at a deeper level. So, for example, the U.S. has actually raised interest rates quite a lot over the last couple of years. So our belief is that the U.S. will be able to have greater room to cut interest rates. And at the same time, that might ironically mean that the U.S. dollar may actually face some weaknesses if the market feels that, you know, the rate of interest rate cuts in the U.S. perhaps in 2020 would occur at a faster pace. So I think that would be one of the core parameters for understanding currency movement going forward. I think the second issue would be, of course, to analyze currencies with regards to where current account balances are with regards to, you know, whether exports are still at a healthy level. I think one of the core issues that we're facing right now is that China may potentially move from a current account surplus to a potential current account deficit over time. So the question is which countries are going to remain in the current account surplus. And our view is that there are some countries which actually have that benefit of being in a current account surplus. That includes Thailand, Malaysia, as well as Singapore. So we need to remember that the analysis of who cuts interest rates faster than the other will eventually shift to an analysis of which countries are going to maintain a current account surplus.
And usually a current account surplus means that the currencies will be stronger relative to the US dollar?
Yes, that would be correct.
Okay, and if we shift our focus back to Malaysia, FTSE Russell has placed Malaysian government bonds on the watch list for 6 months following a review, right? I think it raises concerns that an exclusion could trigger a ratings downgrade. Now, what would this mean for our local bond market and the ringgit if that were to happen?
Yeah, first, allow me to add a little bit of context to that issue. First of all, we need to ask ourselves, what is the exact purpose of having an index? And I think it actually allows investors to divide themselves between alpha investors and beta investors. Beta investors being ones who generally track the index and try to replicate returns. Alpha investors would be those which would be able to have various factor weights and tilts to the prescribed weightings within an index. So although there might be that potential risk of the exclusion from the index, I think more importantly, we have to put it in the context that there are various forms of investors, and quite a number of them would be more interested in maximizing or optimizing returns versus the underlying volatility within the market. So the ironic thing is that if a country with a good positive carry such as Malaysia was potentially excluded from the index, the ironic issue would be, it would be easier for fund managers to actually beat the index. And secondly, you could actually see a wave of alpha investors reinvesting into Malaysia simply because that country would actually provide you slightly better excess returns when the beta investors have potentially left the market. So I think the overall impact of that potential index exclusion might be a little bit difficult to determine at this stage. And our overall view is that, we do not actually want to panic on such events. I think it's more of a specific one-off issue. And the greater backdrop is that the monetary policy environment is actually very accommodative, both domestically as well as globally. And I think that would be the bigger issue where a lot of investors will still try to invest their money within fixed income assets to basically boost overall returns, especially in emerging market currencies and countries with high carry.
And that was Ray Choi, Regional Head of Treasury and Markets Research at CIMB Group Wholesale Banking. So it looks like the ringgit will be relatively strong against the US dollar since Malaysia has a current account surplus.
Yeah, I think that this has to be looked at in light of that interest rate reduction. And also Tim Holland talks about the carry trade, right? The money would move from places where of low interest rates to higher interest rates.
And at the same time, I think even if Malaysia is removed from the world bond index, Ray thinks that the impact will be muted because only beta or passive funds will actually follow the benchmarking.
Yeah. So stay tuned for BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.